welcome to the Witchy Woman Podcast. I am your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 14. Before I get too far ahead of myself, I want to announce the winner of the Deviant Moon Tarot Deck. It is Heather McPhee. I will be contacting you, Heather, via the Witchy Woman Podcast group so I can get all your info so I can get this deck out to you. I cannot wait until you get your hands on this deck. It is so freaking cool. So congratulations and thank you for everybody who participated, who rated, reviewed, subscribed, all that good stuff. It really, really helps me out a ton. So I do appreciate all your participation. Today is the day before Beltane. Beltane is May 1st. May Day is another word for it. It's celebrating halfway between spring and summer solstice. Woohoo! Warmer weather is supposed to be on its way, although right now I am sitting in my house, and if I look out the window, I see about 8 inches of snow on the ground. Literally yesterday, I was riding my horse and enjoying no snow, and today I wake up to this. I knew there was a chance of it. I was really hoping for only rain, but that did not happen, unfortunately, so I'm looking at snow for today. I think there's a chance of snow tomorrow. So my Beltane plans have been moved from outside to inside. Anyway, I want to talk about what else it's called. So Beltane has some other names. There's so many traditions and so many different ways to celebrate, you know, the turning of the wheel. We've got Set Samhain, which is just means opposite Samhain, because down in the other hemisphere, they're celebrating Samhain right now. Right now, it's also called, May Day, Fairy Day, Rood Day, like R-O-O-D Day, Roodmas, Walpurgis, and Floriala. And those are just some of the ones that I found. Most of them were basically the same thing, just celebrating this beautiful time of year, fertility, fire, that sort of thing. All of them have different mythological lore behind them, but same basic reason for celebrating. So, Beltane. Let's talk about the word Beltane and how and what it means and how it came about. So there was a Celtic god, Bel, and that means, Bel means bright one. And then Tane means fire. So we've got bright fire is what Beltane literally means. So definitely a fire festival. Time to light your bonfires if you can and do it safely. if you can't go outside, then, you know, there's candles and oils and herbs that can represent fire for you. So this is the peak of spring and the beginning of summer. So main things we focus on are fertility and nature. That's the central theme. For me, I think, like, really excited, horny pagans running around this time of year. That's what I think about. It's to celebrate, celebrating, you know, the coming together of the feminine and the masculine. So that's what I think about. Let's talk about the mythology first. So the mythology behind this is that there's this beautiful maiden goddess. She's in this phase of the triple goddess. She has reached her peak fertility matureness, right? And she's called the May Queen or the May Bride. Then we have the young Oak King or the Green Man. And he falls deeply and madly in love with the May Queen, and they're married, and subsequently consummate that marriage, resulting in a pregnancy. So that right there is the reason, the archetypes that we are celebrating right now. And together, they're symbolic of the sacred marriage, like the union of the earth and the sky, as above, so below. Right? So it's pretty cool. To me, I really, really love this holiday. It's one of my favorite ones. Samhain's probably always going to be my favorite, but this one is really, really special to me because I feel like, one, the veil is super thin, so it's amazing to do divination on that day or around that day. And also, I feel like the energy in myself that's masculine, you know, kind of rises and balances with my feminine energy. So I feel very powerful. I feel very energetic, passionate, all those things that I may not always feel so strongly. I feel like those energies finally kind of wake up from the slumbering winter and kind of meet that divine feminine that I have within myself. So for me, that's how I feel it. For everybody, I'm sure it's different. Some deities associated with it. So we do have the Oak King, the Green Man, May Queen or Bride. Aphrodite, Artemis, Bask, Diana, Flora, Pan, and the Horn God. So those are just some of them. There are a lot more. That's just some that I found when I was screwing around on the internet looking up stuff. So let's talk about correspondences. Some of the correspondences for colors are brown, green, pink, white, and yellow. And again, these are just the colors that I kind of found that were common when I looked at different places on the internet. So you can use whatever the heck you have, and always white represents anything. So these are the colors that you're going to decorate your altar with, your house. Maybe those are the colors you wear on Beltane. Also could be the ribbon colors on the maypole. Some herbs associated with this particular Sabbat are lemon, mint, and mugwort. Again, there's a lot more. Those are just ones that I wanted to list. and all of those are actually pretty potent in their smell. And I love that lemon and mint were listed, because those, for me, like, they elicit a strong response for me. I smell mint and I feel fresh, and it feels like a new beginning. And lemon for me is energy and vitality. So I really like those. Mugwort for me is a divination herb. I use that to clear the air, like smoke clearing. I use mugwort for that when I'm going to do any kind of divination work. Divination meaning any kind of communicating with my abilities. So whether that's tarot or scrying or doing a mediumship reading, those kind of things. What else? Oh, trees. Trees of this particular Sabbat are birch, oak, and hawthorn. Flowers. These smell super good. I love this. Daisy, rose, violet, and then there's ivy as well. I want to talk about crystals. Crystals, for me, are a big deal in my personal practice. So I always really try to incorporate crystals into every Sabbat. So I will carry them around. I'll decorate my altar with them, and they're all over my house. Emerald, rose quartz, carnelian, amber, and malachite are just a few of the ones that represent or correspond with Beltane. I thought this was cool. I found animals that are associated with the season. So bees, cows, doves, frogs, and rabbits. So I like that. I think those all kind of are animals that embody, like right now I see bees are, well, before the snow, bees were awakening. All the cattle that on these ranches right now are having babies. The doves are out in full force. I am hearing frogs in our meadow, and rabbits are procreating like freaking crazy. There's rabbits all over the ranch right now. Oils. I also love oils, so I wanted to list some of those. We've got jasmine, lemon, peppermint, rose, ylang ylang, and pine. So the way I incorporate oils is I will anoint candles, I'll wear them, I will put it in a diffuser, that sort of thing. And food. I found food. Like, I'm going to try to make some traditional food, I think, this time. So we've got honey, light cakes, meaning like something nice and fluffy, and anything dairy. And some traditions that I found on there, on the internet, would be, of course, the maypole. And the maypole is a super phallic symbol. It's a freaking pole. So they're traditionally, there's a big pole and like a ring at the top. Ring meaning or representing feminine, the pole masculine, right? And you wrap it up in ribbons and combine the two. Another thing was jumping over the fire, like jumping over a bonfire to purify and bless. So that would be fun as long as no one gets started on fire. And I'm going to preface or put this disclaimer out there. Please do not jump over a bonfire and then say, hey, the witchy woman said to do it after you set yourself on fire. Like, that would not be cool. So let's just not jump over bonfires, okay? And then just plain old just having a bonfire was something that was super prevalent every time I would search and look for different ways to celebrate this. It was big bonfires, lots of people around it, feasting, and afterwards procreating. So if that's your cup of tea, then get at it. I wanted to talk about the Fae. So the Fae kind of make their appearance around Beltane. So Fae meaning fairies, right? So I want to talk about them just a tiny bit. So their origination for this lore is Ireland. And there was an early race of conquerors called the Tuatha de Danann. I'm probably saying that wrong, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody. So they were like a powerful group powerful race at that time. And then the next wave of conquerors came in, and to escape them, the Tuatha De Danann went underground. And the side note is the Tuatha De Danann people were children of the goddess Danu. So they hid underneath the ground to get away from, and I'm going to probably say this wrong too, but the Milesians or the Milesians. So to escape these people, they went underground, and after a while they evolved into the Fae or fairies. It's believed that the Fae around this time are kind of just waking up from winter's rest. And when they wake up, they want to party, and their way of partying is mischief. So the lore, one of the things I looked up that I thought was really cool is, that the queen of the fairies rides on this beautiful white horse, to lead humans to their realm. And if you hear her bells on her horse, then if you're a human, you need to run because she's going to try to entice you to go down to the Fae. And when you're down there, like a day is like 7 years. So you lose time if you can come back at all. So anyway, that's Beltane. I would really love for any of you that are celebrating tomorrow to post in the group or on the page. Let us know what you're doing. I would love to know how people celebrate tomorrow. I'm sure there's many, many ways to do it, and sharing with each other, I think, is kind of cool. So post that in the Witchy Woman podcast group. I'll try to have a thread open for that, but you can just post on there if you're a member. So if you're not a member of that group, get on Facebook and join. Okay, something else I thought I would talk about today would be altar tools. I've been getting a lot of questions about what's on an altar, what's on my altar, how do you use those things, and I thought it would kind of be cool to do a series of all, you know, about altar tools, what they are and how you use them. And I'm going to say every tradition or faith is going to be different. So I'm not doing a Wiccan one or a Druid one or whatever. I'm just doing basic altar tools. This is what they are. This is how you use them. And if you have a specific faith, you can tweak this to however your rules are for that. Okay? So because I love candles, because I love to burn shit, that's what I wanted to do first. Was candles on your altar. So to start out with, your altar can be anything, really. Start out with that first. It can be a tabletop, it can be a plate, a tray, just a nice level surface to put shit on. That's all it has to be. It doesn't have to be something, you know, huge and elaborate. It can be a plate. I have little small altars that are literally like those cheap crystal plates I found like at a garage sale or a a knickknack shop. So you can totally use anything, big or small, okay? So on your altar, most generally, is a candle, at least one candle. And this candle can represent your divinity, whatever god or goddess that you follow. So you can either have, there's three different ways that I saw that was the most common. So one candle representing, you know, general deity, spirit, whatever. Two candles representing one for the god, one for goddess archetype. Or three candles representing the maiden, the mother, and the crone. And these colors are generally white, silver, or gold. Gold usually representing masculine energy. So that's going to be, if you have one candle, it's going to be in the center of your altar. Two candles, usually one on one side, one on the other. Three kind of in a cluster or straight across. It really is whatever, but those are just the common ones. Okay, so that's the main ones. Then you can have some that represent the directions, or the four directions or four elements. So we'll start with earth, north. And that colors for that are usually green or brown. Kind of makes sense, right? And then we have air or east, and that's yellow or sometimes a cream or a white. Fire, south, red or orange. Water, west, blue, aqua, or gray. So those kind of make sense. They correspond pretty, to me, it seems logical. So those are the things, and you post, or you know, put them on your altar in the directions that they are. You should know what way at least north is, and if you don't, learn it. Okay. Okay. So also, I just want to put it out there that some traditions are going to specify what color, the number of candles, and what they represent. I am fully aware that I'm eclectic, so I do whatever the hell I want. So that's, I just wanted to point that out so nobody comes back and says, that's not what I do, that's not what my coven does or group or whatever does. So I'm eclectic, I do whatever. I use like main candles and others for whatever work I'm doing. So so for a Sabbat, I have a candle for that. If I'm doing work under a moon phase, I have a specific candle for that. Particular deities or archetypes, I usually have a different candle for that sort of thing. I make candles, so for me, I just like, oh, I need one, and I'm just boop, make one real quick. But I realize not everybody can do that. So if you can't have access or don't have access to a metaphysical store or can't get your hands on one quick enough, you can go to Walmart, dollar store, wherever, and pick up whatever color you need. It's not like it has to be something, you know, super specific. Some places you're gonna find that they say you need to be all natural. You can't use fragrance oils. They have to be soy or beeswax and only essential oils. If that's the doctrine within your faith, then that's your thing. But I don't follow that. I find candles that I just like. Like if I like an artificially scented purple candle that's probably not soy, I'm going to get it anyway because I like it, right? So I recognize that there are people that need to have the specific stuff. I'm just not one of those. Okay. Let's talk about corresponding or color correspondences because different colors, you're going to use different colored candles for different things. So let's start out with white. White means purity, healing, beginnings, the moon and the goddess. And it's also a sub for anything else. So if you do not have a purple candle, you can use a white one. If you don't have a gold candle, use a white one. Okay, black. Black is for protection, banishing, change, or transition, for breaking habits. So all of those are for you use black for. Red is for romance, sex, love, power, fire, action, and root chakra work. Blue is peace, water, healing, justice and truth, the psychic mind, and the throat chakra. Yellow, air, mental abilities, study, grades, communication, increased focus. It's great for business spells and like a boost of inspiration. Also, solar plexus chakra. Green is the one I have next, and it is traditionally used in money and prosperity, abundance, represents growth of any kind, health, nature, of course, luck, and the heart chakra and earth. Orange represents creativity, strength, vitality, the sacral chakra, passion, and energy. Purple is for divination, astral travel, third eye chakra, crown chakra, emotion, ambition, and power. Pink is love and romance, self-love, love of others, emotional well-being, and forgiveness. Brown is grounding, earth, balance, trust, root chakra, and also you can use a brown for animals, to represent animals in your workings. And then we have silver. Silver represents the moon, the psychic realm, the goddess, the divine feminine. And gold is the sun, wealth, the god, and masculinity, the divine masculine. So say you have lit your candles, you did a spell or ritual or meditation or whatever you're doing. Sometimes if you search the internet for a specific ritual or spell, it'll tell you to burn until it's done. So do I burn my candles continuously till they're out or done? No, I don't, because I don't want to burn my freaking house down. Like, I imagine when you had like all brick houses and not carpet and whatnot, then you could do that. But I can't do that. I have carpet. I have cats. So I will do my workings and I will let it burn until I can't watch it anymore. And then I will, you know, put it out. And then I just will go about my business. And when I can come back to it and supervise it again, I will burn it. And I will just keep doing this process until it's done and there's no more candle. If it requires it to burn until it's done. Sometimes you don't have to do that. Like, my main altar candles that are there all the time, so like the ones that represent any kind of divinity or whatever, those are just there and I light them for the time that I'm using my altar, and I put them out and I'll use them again. So I don't have to wait until they're all done, start over and use a new one. So when you're done with your stuff, what do you do with it? Somebody asked me what I do, or what's the proper way to dispose of anything left in the candle. I bury stuff. There's other ways to do it, but I bury it. And my general rule for this, if I'm doing a working that I want to bring in or attract something, then the stuff I have left over is going to be buried on my property. If you don't have a yard, then if you have plants, you can bury it in your planter. If I'm doing any kind of working to get rid or push something away, break a bad habit, whatever, then that candle leftovers is going to be buried off my property. So I'm going to, because I don't want it anymore, right? So those things, that's just my kind of guidelines. You can do whatever. You can toss it in the trash if that's really what you want to do. It's up to you. So I've had a ton of questions also about flames, what they mean when you light your candles. So you're doing a ritual and something happens with the candle flame. What the heck does that mean? So here's some general guidelines on that too. Okay. So if it's a good clean burn, so you have like a decent sized flame, there's not a lot of flickering, it just burns steady and clean. That's a good sign. Good sign that whatever you did is going to manifest as you needed it to. It just might be a little bit slow, so be patient. If it's a really tall, bright flame, that means your workings have tons of energy in it and from you, and it should be a nice, happy outcome or whatever you wanted as a result. A small, steady flame indicates low energy, so the spell or you have not a ton of energy into it. Steady is good, but it signals a need for patience. So there may be a little bit of a delay in your desired outcome for whatever you were doing. A super small flame, like itty-bitty. Like, you ever seen those that are just like barely glowing? That's not a good sign. Either your timing's off for that spell or working, or the outcome just isn't going to be good. So rethink all that. So that's not a good sign. A dancing flame indicates really high energy, but it's chaotic. It's all over the place. You're going to get success, but it has the potential to have some complications. If it's dancing and small, look out for other opposing forces working against you. Kind of reevaluate what you're asking for and who might not want you to get it. Rapid flickering flames. So it's going to dim and brighten and dim and brighten and keep doing that over and over and over. In some traditions, it means that spirits are present. It also could mean that if the candle is used for any kind of work with your divinity, that the prayers are going to be answered or the invocation worked. Oh, candle popping. So when it snaps and crackles and pops and stuff. A noisy candle means communication or interferences by outside forces. An uneven burn means someone's working against you. So reevaluate and take some time to figure out who might not want you doing what you're doing. What if it just goes out? Like, you've lit it, you're doing your thing, and poof, it goes out. It means you're done. Or the working is finished. Like, you don't need to go any further. Or it can also mean that a stronger opposing force stopped it. So you need to ground yourself and just let it be. It means the spell or petition or whatever will not manifest, or also maybe it already has been attained. So just stop what you're doing, ground yourself, and reevaluate. What if it won't go out? You're not done. It's like your guides or something is telling you need to sit down and reevaluate your ritual or your meditation or whatever you were doing. And remember if you forgot anything, like, did I forget something? And if you forgot something, then add it. And again, try to extinguish it and see how that goes. What if it won't light at all? You keep lighting it and it just will not light. Then the spell isn't going to give you what you want or what you need. So a spell isn't going to do it. So try again after some time or try something different. And then what happens when there's tons of smoke? When you blow it out and there's crap loads of smoke? It means the element of air is present. So communication is good. It also indicates maybe that you need to use your eyes and your mind to read the situation a little bit better. White smoke is a blessing or your wish has been granted. Black smoke is negative energy. It represents a conflict, opposing purposes around your spell work, and it means you need to cleanse and then maybe proceed after you've done some really heavy cleansing. Okay, now let's talk about what way the smoke goes and what that means. So when the candle smoke moves towards you after you have put it out, it means success in attracting what you wanted. So for love or money or healing, it's a great sign. It's a super good sign. It means you're going to achieve what you wanted. The exception is for negative working. So curses, hex, and tricks. If the candle smoke from a hexing candle moves towards you, or maybe just totally fills up the room, that's kind of a tip off that you're not going to be able to escape the responsibility or the karma for what you just did. So this is another, when you're planning a spell, really think about all of the ramifications. Okay. So if the candle smoke moves away, smoke that moves away from you represents energies that are outward bound. So it's not a good omen. Usually it means something is, you're not able to attain it. However, if it's a spell to manipulate or heal or influence others, the smoke can mean that the working is going as planned. So really pay attention to all of that. what happens if you have a weird blue flame? Because that does happen. Blue fire is a sign of a spiritual presence. So that's the color of the fae or the angelic realm. So if it burns blue or like a blue-white, it's a sign that high spiritual beings are interested in what you're doing at the moment. Red or yellow flame means something more mundane, but still powerful. Still powerful energy is fueling your spell. What happens when you're burning the candle and it feels like it forms like a giant hole or like a crater? So like the center of the wax goes down, the outsides just build up this giant wall. And that really does happen a lot with pillar candles or container candles. It usually means that your will is too weak to cast that spell at this moment. So maybe try it another time when your personal power is a little bit better. Or it can also mean that the energy of that spell has been blocked from reaching the intended target. So think about that as well. Okay, so what happens if when you burn your candle, it's just a giant puddle of wax? So it's not necessarily a bad sign, but it can mean that there is really passionate, accelerated energy. So usually when it's a giant pile of wax, it burnt quickly. It's also an invitation to ceromancy or divination of the wax. So you look at the wax and find out if anything comes to you right away, if you see anything in the shapes, what you see in your mind's eye as well when you look at the wax. There's a whole other bunch of information about what the shapes mean, but maybe that's another day, because that's maybe another podcast, topic all on its own. Okay, so what if the candle burns with no wax drips? So it's like the perfect candle burn. This is a sign of a really well thought out, properly executed spell, ritual, petition, whatever. A super freaking amazing candle. Like, the candle maker did a really good job, because it's like perfectly centered and anyway, your spell probably will go exactly as you want it, because you did it so well. So the candle magic success rate for this kind of wax strip is really, really high. What happens if the wax strips on one side only? So something's out of balance, probably going to get an incomplete result for that particular working. Some people say drips on the left represent emotional or psychic imbalance. Drips on the right are your thoughts and beliefs are getting in the way of the spell. So if this happens, look at those things and then kind of redo it. So what happens if there's candle icky, like crud in it? Black pieces are in the melted wax. You kind of got like floaters. Sometimes that happens, and it signifies unintended consequences, or that the work will need to be done after, or there's some work that needs to be done after the spell is complete. So guilt, broken hearts, karmic baggage, that kind of stuff. Usually it's not terrible, but it's not going to be fun either. So you may need to do some cleanup after that spell runs its course. And then another one is soot. You've got a candle container, like the 7-day, the glass ones, sometimes they'll get that weird, black shadowy crap on the glass. If it does that, read the amount of it and location of the soot to figure out what's going on. So black soot is generally taken to be a sign of negative energy or some kind of interference, within your workings. If it's only at the top of the jar, the opposition has most likely been overcome. So it's probably going to work out fine. If it covers the entire surface of the container, it means that you have been, something's happened to it and you need to repeat it. It's not going to work. White soot, which I've never seen, I don't think, is rare, and it's said to be a representative of spiritual communication and assistance. Okay, so this has totally happened to me. What if it blows up? What if your container explodes, the glass thing you're holding it in breaks, whatever. A dramatic break or ending to the candle burning ritual means that your spell work has been vetoed by a greater power. Cleanse yourself and your ritual space. Really, really think about what happened and rework it in at a later date when you figured out what exactly happened. I know there are other meanings for the blown up one, but that's one of them. I've actually heard a totally other, like the opposite meaning, like meaning there was so much power and it blew up and your spell is going to work. So it all depends on what you kind of want to believe about it. So that's all I have on candles at the moment. So I was thinking that I could put on the Witchy Woman podcast group. I'm going to put a bunch of different altar tools and let you guys vote on what I talk about next week. So I will have a whole bunch of them listed. You need to go to the Witchy Woman podcast group. There's a page and a group. I'm going to post this in the group. Click to join. If you have any favorites, please, please, please vote for your favorite, and that's what we'll talk about next time. I hope everybody has an amazing Beltane, whether you go all out and crazy and celebrate it outside with a giant bonfire, or if you're inside with, you know, a bowl of cinnamon and some meditation. Either way, it's going to be special for you. So share that with us. Go to the podcast group and let's share our rituals. I'm really, really hoping to start more live videos because of the Patreon page and the donations, the monthly donations from the supporters there. I was able to get a webcam. I do not have a webcam. I usually use my phone, but with some of the platforms I use, my phone, it's just a pain because I have to record it and then send it to my laptop and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, now I have a webcam, so I'll be able to do more interaction with you guys. I will be doing separate content at the Patreon page. That's patreon.com/witchywomanpodcast. There you can choose to be a supporter of the show. I think the lowest tier is like $2. So every little bit helps, but I was able to get a really nice webcam for not a whole lot of money, so I'll be able to talk to you guys as close to face to face as I can get. So thank you for the supporters on that page. And if you would like to be a Patreon supporter, please go to that page and check out I've got a video and some other information there you can listen to. No pressure. Also, I have Instagram. If you want to contact me there, it's Sage Stone and Candle on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, Danae_sweet_. You can email me with your questions or if you want to be on the show, Danae@DanaeSweet.com. What else am I missing? Oh, Facebook business page is Sage Stone and Candle. And snail mail. Yes, I have yet to get snail mail. Someone send me a letter. Dude, I remember having pen pals when we were little and I loved it. I love, love, love getting snail mail. So P.O. Box 333 Hyannis, H-Y-A-N-N-I-S, Nebraska 69350. Send it to Danae's Sweet. I'm hoping to get some more interviews queued up for you guys because I really, really enjoy those. And I know you guys really, really enjoyed those too. So hopefully I'll have more interviews for you guys. If you have any suggestions, don't feel shy. Go ahead and email me or contact me on any of the platforms I just mentioned. So thank you guys for listening and bye.